Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. That's Jen, Akash, Alex, and Sarah coming to you. Interesting and interested people. Today, we're going to be talking about climate and health. So listen up. Globally, the 10 warmest Augusts have all occurred since 1998, with the five warmest occurring since 2015. Cities are heat islands. That's structures such as buildings, roads, and other infrastructure that reabsorb and emit the sun's heat more than natural landscapes, such as forests, fields, and bodies of water. Amazingly, summers in the US have been warming since 1970. I think we all know that, but what's crazy is, on average, across the country, cities are even hotter and have been getting even hotter, even faster than the adjacent rural areas. Single day urban temperatures in some metro areas were even as much as 27 degrees Fahrenheit higher than the surrounding rural areas. Since 2004, 12 of 60 cities in one study in the US averaged at least 20 more days a year above 90 degrees Fahrenheit than nearby or rural areas. That's insane. That's a much longer summer, way hotter. There's gotta be some problems with that. And there's also a link between higher temperatures and poorer air quality.
Thanks for the facts, Alex. That was really cool, but also terrifying. Yeah, so people might also ask, like, why is there an increase in heat waves? And one reason to that is climate change. Humans are adding more greenhouse gases, for example, carbon dioxide and methane, to the atmosphere. And most greenhouse gases come from burning fossil fuels for electricity generation, transportation, industrial uses. And it can also come from agricultural practices and commercial use. And these gases build up and trap heat and cause average temperatures to increase for longer and more frequently. Jen, what do you think?
Yeah, so these all sound like really big issues. I'm gonna look a little bit about how it might impact a person's health. So as I think we are all aware, our body maintains our heat. And it does this by using metabolic processes. So how we turn our fats and our carbohydrates into energy, that produces heat. And so in a cold environment, that's fine. It actually works to keep our body temperature at the temperature that we want it to be. But when the environment around us becomes hot, we start having issues losing our heat. And so our internal temperature will rise. So our body acts in a couple different ways to try to get rid of the heat. The one that I'm sure we're all aware of is sweating, which will lead to dehydration in a lot of cases. And then our body will also increase our heart rate and vasodilate our blood vessels in order to get more blood to the surface of our skin in order to try to lose that heat off into the environment. The issue becomes when the environment is too warm, the heat from our body won't really leave our body. And so our internal temperatures rise and can cause both direct and indirect impacts on our health. So direct impacts will include things such as dehydration from sweating, heat cramps, heat stroke, and accelerated death from chronic conditions, things such as respiratory disease and cardiovascular disease. And that will be due to the increased demand on our heart. So then we'll also see indirect impacts, and that includes things like increased accidents because our mental function decreases. And we also see an increased demand on health services. So when it's super hot outside, people will end up going to the hospital for these illnesses. And then other illnesses that aren't related to the heat will actually get decreased attention from the hospital services. And so I think it's also really important to note that these health impacts more typically affect certain populations. And those populations include children, the elderly, patients with chronic conditions, pregnant women, and overweight. And this is due to a variety of reasons. Something like medication might limit your ability to get rid of heat. If you have a chronic condition such as a heart disease, you can't really increase your heart rate as well. And children, for instance, they have decreased surface area, and so they can't get rid of their heat as much. But overall, this heat that we're experiencing, it's leading to short-term and long-term impacts on health, and not in a positive way. So just one little statement is, if you notice things that are symptoms of heat exhaustion, which include loss of concentration, muscle cramps, weakness, and thirst, you need to get inside into air conditioning, take off as many clothes as possible. You need to cool down as quickly as possible. So these health impacts, I think we're all noticing them increase as Alex so kindly pointed out to us earlier, the stats are on the rise, and so these health issues are on the rise. Personally, I went to Vermont for college, and I think we're all aware that Vermont is known for being cold. But in the summer of 2017, we actually had a pretty bad heat wave. And because we're not prepared for the heat up in Vermont, very few houses have air conditioning. And those who have air conditioning may not use it due to the expense of the air conditioning. We actually had several deaths within our population of Burlington because of this heat wave. And so I think it's just really important that we take steps to try to reduce the increase in heat so we can reduce these health issues. Sarah, have you ever experienced anything similar?
Yeah, so I also had a heat wave during the first week that I was moving to my apartment a few years ago, and I actually got heat exhaustion. I didn't feel well. I had a headache that wouldn't go away, and I was feeling pretty nauseous for an entire week. And I didn't put two and two together that I didn't have AC in my apartment, and we had just gotten an email saying that there was a heat wave happening. And I only figured out it was heat exhaustion a week later when I went to class and it had AC and I was drinking a lot of cold water. And my symptoms went away a day later. And Jen, you mentioned earlier that like different populations are more susceptible to health problems, but I feel like these problems, these stories show that heat waves affect all of us. Alex, do you have any other stories about heat?
My elementary school growing up didn't have air conditioning either. Outside there was a big black parking lot, and I remember some kids having issues with becoming dehydrated at recess. You can imagine, especially with playing, we were losing a lot more of our moisture through sweat. And on some days I remember getting out early because it was too hot. I haven't been back recently, of course, but it didn't have AC then, and I don't think it does now. I can only imagine how much school kids are gonna be missing now and gonna have to make up as temperatures rise. And even if they did add air conditioning, it's important to remember that that may contribute to global warming. Akash, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, kind of just going off what you said, I went to school in Philly as well, and we would also get out of school early on due to heat waves. Right now, only 27% of schools in Philadelphia have central air built in, so schools have no choice but to let students out early. You don't want them walking around trying to go home at 3 p.m. during the hottest part of the day. And so what are some things that we can do to adapt to the increased frequency of heat waves? So first, we can implement white roofs onto buildings and houses. If we look at asphalt, that material only reflects about 4% of absorbed sunlight. A white roof is much more efficient in that it emits up to 90% of heat that it absorbs. This helps maintain a more stable and cooler temperature overall. Something else we can do is use green roofs and greeneries as cool spaces. Planting trees and other vegetation lowers surface and air temperatures by providing shade and cooling. Trees can directly shade buildings, improve air quality, and provide cooling shade for outdoor activities, thereby reducing exposure to harmful UV radiation. It's also important to create more cooling centers in urban environments. Although a lot of buildings may be older, it's important to be able to fit them with central air so that those who don't have access to AC can use them during times of heat waves. And lastly, we should also try to purchase more energy efficient equipment. This can help reduce the load on the electrical grid and can lead to decreased failures during high demand times, such as heat waves.
It sounds like if we can enact these strategies, they could really benefit people's health. And that's all that we have today. So from Jazz to you, we've given you the information. Now it's your turn to act.